This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, whites and minorities differing views on economic opportunity, and a Houston congressman calls some Katrina evacuees in his state deadbeats. Joining us today to discuss these topics and more, Glenn Lowry, professor of economics at Brown University. He joins us from member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island. Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, joins us from our New York bureau. And via phone today, E.R. Shipp, professor of journalism at Hofstra University. I welcome you all. Greatly appreciate it. Let's go right into the poll that Gallup released. It's its annual Minority Rights and Relations poll. What it does show here, and underscore something that is no surprise to any, that there is, as so often was called during the O.J. Simpson trial, two views of America, one black, one white, or in this case, one colored, one white, if you will. And it specifically talked about the inequality in terms of views, Glenn, in terms of how blacks and minorities saw economic opportunity in this country versus whites.
Yeah, that's right. Blacks and Latinos are less optimistic. They're more likely to see this as a country of haves and of have-nots than are whites. They are more likely to say that unemployment is among the major problems that the country is facing. And like you say, this is not news. It's been true for a long time that blacks and other minorities have a different perspective on what's going on in the country. There's a lot of inequality. Partly this is a class point, that is, that there are more working class and lower class people amongst minorities than whites. But partly it's a perception of what constitutes discrimination. Many times an affront or a disappointment in the workplace for a person of color, you can't help but think that it might have something to do with your race. And whites are not burdened with that particular problem.
And Michael Myers, you see that perhaps most in the idea that whites, according to this poll, clearly see job opportunities as equal among all in this country, where blacks and Hispanics, particularly blacks, do not.
Well, you might have seen what Glenn was talking about if the question had been differently put to whites. For example, if whites were asked, do they believe they are discriminated against in the workplace because of affirmative action, I think you would have seen higher numbers of people who among whites who think that race discrimination is something that affects their lives as well. Yes, this is a divide in group experience and perceptions about group experience and about racial progress. The central point is, what do you do about these perceptions? What do you do about these lingering facts? And for me, the issue is very interesting that there was no mention in terms of reparations, to refer to a prior program of yours. Nobody takes reparations seriously other than maybe the academics. For me, the issue is, how do you get people who are low income and who are not in the mainstream American society into the mainstream? That means you have to get rid of ghettoization and isolation. You have to get minority people in place for their situation in life. They have to go to the best colleges, to the elite colleges. They got to get into the good schools, get into the good so-called good neighborhoods. They got to go where the jobs are. You have to go and get into power communities where people have power, who have the jobs and who have influence and can get you a job. It's a lot of who you know as opposed to just what you know or what you don't know.
Yeah, the poll looks at some other things in relation to how the world is viewed. We'll get to that in just a moment. But most interesting, if you look at the blacks that participated in this poll, the vast majority, 81% of them, dispute the notion of equal job opportunities. 81%.
Yeah, I can see that. And what I think we're seeing is people are looking around themselves and seeing what's going on, and that may not be reflected in the world of the whites who were part of the poll. But if you look around you and see that many of the people on your block are not working, then you think there is something going on. And maybe you will think that it has something to do with race, and maybe it does, as Michael was saying. It's probably more, and Glenn, I think also, it may be more class-related. But it reminds me of a lot of other polls that have been done where blacks and whites have different views. And it basically comes down to, what do you see happening around you, and not so much what the big picture really relates. We're being told constantly, by the way, that the economy is strong and there's little unemployment. But if you see a lot of people not working, then you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, we talk about class, Glenn Lowry, but we have to remember when we talk about class in this country, while there are African Americans who have been able to steadfastly put their feet in the middle of middle class, and even a fewer who really are rich nowadays, the vast majority of African Americans in this country really do fall into either poverty or the true working class, and therefore these numbers speak to them.
Yeah, that's true. Something over a quarter, less than a third of blacks live in poverty, over a third of black children. The typical black family has about 60% of the annual income of the typical white family. These numbers haven't changed a whole lot. The poverty numbers have trended down over the 90s, but the difference in family incomes has been a fact of American life for over a generation. So yeah, it's not surprising that African Americans would be somewhat less optimistic. Amongst immigrants, though, there is a lot of dynamism and social mobility. The economy really is open. There is a lot of social mobility. The problem of ghettos and of lagging position of blacks, as Michael Myers has said, and I want to underscore it, is a legacy of our social history. It has a lot to do with isolation, segregation, and people not being able to get into the networks where they can develop their human possibilities.
It's not surprising, by the way, that immigrants might feel a little bit more optimistic. That's the whole point of immigrating,
sure.
is that right. You want to come to a place that's better than where you were, and what you're seeing is something that is indeed better than what
you
had.
The other factor in terms of the black-white divide, at least, for me, is the issue of the difference between not only income differences between the racial groups, and there are, but also the issue and the differences in terms of wealth. There's been, because of racial discrimination and segregation and the advantages of white skin and all that other history, there's been an overdeveloped white community in terms of wealth. And blacks, for the most part, particularly low-income blacks and recently middle-class blacks, are just coming into the system and depend on a paycheck. They don't have assets and wealth to fall back on. So those are real perceptions and real problems. And it's very interesting that among all the groups in the poll, very few people cited affirmative action as a possible remedy. In light of this history, it seems to me affirmative action, affirmative redress, affirmative action against that history of discrimination and pervasive segregation seems to me should have been higher in terms of what people see in terms of possibilities, in terms of remedy.
Well, higher in terms of the rankings. The one subject that all agreed on is when asked about the top problems in this country, the Iraq War, across the boards, non-Hispanic whites, blacks, and Hispanics all suggested that that was the number one problem the country faces.
Yes, because it is the number one problem that the country faces. It's an awful, terrible problem. Scores upon scores are dying every day over there in Baghdad. We're mired. I don't have to go on with the litany. We all know what the situation is. In my mind, it's a great relief that in this democracy, across the board, regardless of class or race, ordinary citizens recognize that we've got ourselves into a horrible mess over there. Now, if only we could get our government to do something about it.
But also, ordinary citizens see Iraq as a major distraction and diversion of limited resources.
And
as well as the price of oil. So all of that and other stuff is tied up in the question of what's the most important issue facing
Iraq. One reason that we can see this unifying theme is that many of the men and women who are actually fighting the war represent people of lower and working classes and a lot of people of color.
Yeah, and to underscore what you said earlier in terms of the most important problems the country faces, unemployment ranked second for African Americans, while it did not appear among the top five listed by either mm-hmm. whites or Hispanics. Yeah. All right, let's move our attention to something interesting from U.S. Representative John Culberson of Texas. He's a Houston Republican who has suggested that the deadbeat evacuees of New Orleans get out of his city. He says, mm-hmm. This is a quote, "Time has long since passed for the able-bodied people from New Orleans to either find a job, return to somewhere in Louisiana, or become Houstonians." And his suggestion is you have to make an effort not to find a job in Houston. So while he is not indicting all of the evacuees, clearly he's suggesting that there are far too many who are on the doles and just taking an extended vacation, Glenn, in Houston.
Yeah, and I fear that he may be right. I don't have command of all the facts, but casual observation suggests that he could well be right. The rhetoric is inflammatory. I would not have put it that way. But when I looked and I saw that we were importing workers from Brazil and Mexico to clean up the trash on the streets of New Orleans, and when I considered the fact that people now nearly a year after the event, some are still sitting, I thought, my God, you know, this really is not going to work. And, you know, so, I mean, I don't want to come off sounding like
I'm the wonder of America. Yeah. I have the right to be a deadbeat in New Orleans or Houston, and you can't tell me where to be a deadbeat.
No. You can't tell them. You can't tell them. They've got their rights, but you can engage in a moral rhetoric that calls them to higher ground. And, I mean, I think, you know, people ought to be encouraged to get up and get moving. I think that's the case. They should have support. They should have help. But they should get up and get moving.
They've got all that already, and they are not taking advantage of it in these cases. I think the congressman is correct, and sometimes you do have to use inflammatory language to get people's attention. You have to give them a kick in the pants. So I think there are some people laying around who should be doing something. They need to get over the fact that they are Katrina victims and that therefore they're special and don't have to do much to go beyond being a victim. They got to move on. They've got to do something for themselves.
Well, this is Michael Myers. There is something troublesome for me in terms of the imagery that is being painted in some of these articles and stories in terms of people sitting around, loafing around, watching their TV sets and eating Cheetos and whatever else they're doing in terms of loafing. What the congressman did not say, which is interesting. I mean, he could have used that great parochialism. You know, you don't have to go home, but you've got to get up out of here. He didn't say that. What he did say is that,
and that's the cleaned up version. Thank you, Mike.
This is the NPR version. But he did say that what everybody acknowledges, and I'm not going to say that the Katrina evacuees don't acknowledge it, because I don't know. But I think the problem is probably smaller than the rhetoric. But he did say is that people have got to have a sense of a work ethic. Even the mayor of Houston, Mayor Bill White, said essentially the same thing. He said, get a job or go home. He said
that. Here's what's interesting, Michael. We just talked about the poll and the idea of unemployment being second in terms of the problems that African Americans feel are most paramount in this country. The article, one of the articles that we pulled up, talked about a white collar worker, Eunuch Little, 50 years old, with a master's degree, said he had not gotten one response from more than 50 internet job postings, ranging from human resource positions to administrative work. Right. Blue collar people talk about going into places, filling out forms, not hearing back. So that remain to the idea of the reality of, quote, again, being African American in this country.
Ed, that's exactly what I was suggesting. That's where I was going, in the sense that, you know, there's also, they say that there's lots of jobs in Houston, but there may not be jobs available for people if the employer sees the people, the applicant, as a temporary person. If the employer thinks the person is really, at some point, going home. And therefore, there is a sort of, quote-unquote, and I use that word in quotes, a discrimination or a disfavoring towards people who show up and try to get work.
But why do they have to be identified as Katrina?
It's in your resume.
They apply for the job, and why is it an issue?
It's in your resume. Where you live and where you have lived in the last 6 months or a year and what kind of jobs you had before that, every employer wants to know.
Yes.
So you have to identify that. You can't
hide
that.
They've been there for 10 months or whatever it is now.
That's not enough.
Well, but I mean, if you put your resume out and you worked in New Orleans for the last 10 years and your job history says that, you would hope that the employer could put two and two together and figure that you probably lived there.
Yeah, but you know, I also want to say that let's not get too harsh about it, because, you know, the students who went to other places, you know, they went to different colleges, including some of the elite colleges, they were so disappointed when the colleges said, okay, the emergency in New Orleans is over. You got to go home. You got to go back to the colleges in New Orleans to which admitted you. This was a temporary rescue.
Yeah, Glenn, this really does show that sometimes, and we don't like to say this out loud, but Americans have the compassion to help others for only so long. Mm. And then we go back to, all right, get out.
Well, yeah, and...
Oh, come on, come
what
on.
What happened to those people in New Orleans is a terrible thing, okay? But, you know, life goes on, and I agree with ER that, you know, folk need to get moving. And, you know, help and compassion also has a dark side. And I'm not the one who usually makes this kind of an argument. You
dark
know,
side.
The conservative social scientists make it. But people can become dependent. Mm-hmm. You can sap their initiative.
Yes.
A person can sit for 6 months, a year, 18 months, and then they're a different person than they were at the start. That's not what we want.
But just
so
just
it's entirely appropriate to encourage. I mean, there are problems of discrimination out there, no doubt. But this thing that this congressman is talking about is not a problem of white collar New Orleans residents not being able to find jobs. We know what he's talking about.
But that's
that problem was there in New Orleans before the folk left.
But let us be cautious and careful here, because I still think, because you don't know the facts, Glenn, you said that. There is a possibility that the rhetoric may be larger than the real numbers here.
All right.
In
terms
of
you
actually loafing.
But there still are people in the situation who need to be encouraged to move on.
All right, let's end on that point of agreement. And we should note that because we spent so much time on the poll, we wanted to get to one other topic today, which we'll move to hopefully tomorrow, and that is that prisoners in Houston, so maybe the thought of getting arrested to get a job, as this story goes, might have been the case, but prisoners in Houston were looking for minimum wage as relates to the work they were doing in prison, but that was knocked down by an appeals court.
They're just out of their mind. I'll just say that. They're supposed to be punished.
That's punishment, right. not a
well,
job.
That indeed is what the court says, and we'll save that for tomorrow. Glenn, Michael, ER, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you,
Ed.